We certainly, I think all of us know someone who is sick, or maybe you ourselves, or maybe we have been sick ourselves in the past couple of weeks. It's been an interesting month, hasn't it? And those of you that have survived and have made it here this morning on this beautiful Sabbath day, it's good, isn't it?
Amen.
It's good to be in God's place, isn't it? In God's home and in the presence of the Holy Spirit and be part of the family of God. A topic that we are studying in the book of Ephesians, and those of you that have your Bibles, you might want to open to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. If you don't have a Bible with you, I believe there are some Bibles in the pew in front of you there. I invite you to follow along as we continue to study the book of Ephesians. Let me just briefly summarize the last couple of Sabbaths. We discovered that the Apostle Paul is talking in the book of Ephesians about the body of Christ. And he talks about being unified in faith and placing Christ as the head of the body. He talks about being knitted together by the Spirit, just like the fishing nets that I often saw as a child growing up that were torn in the process of fishing, and the fishermen would knit those together. The Holy Spirit knits us together. There are times that the body becomes torn, and the Holy Spirit is there to bring healing and to bring help to us. But the heartbeat of the body is service, serving the body. The Apostle Paul talks about being built up in love as each person serves the body of Christ. And that's why it's so important. The Apostle Paul is so emphatic about the building up of a new social system called the body of Christ. Because the systems that we often come from are faulty. They're dysfunctional. Whether it's a family or whether it's the working world that we live in, something my wife and I talk a lot about is the dysfunction in the working place. We discuss that quite frequently. And I have to keep reminding her that she will not find healthiness and function often in the working place, because people don't understand that function and healthiness come from following the Lord. And so it should be no surprise that we find dysfunction in the world around us, dysfunction in the workplace, dysfunction in the systems, the political systems, whatever it might be. You're not going to find a level of function that the Apostle Paul is referring to here in the book of Ephesians. Paul talks to us, he calls us to put off the old self and to put on the new self. I like that analogy, taking something off. It's like taking off the old rags, you know, that we wear and putting on the new coat, the new clothing. As we turn now to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, the Apostle Paul now switches gears one more time. Let us read this morning the scripture, which is found in the front of your bulletin if you want to take that. This is the Message Bible. Sometimes I like to use it because it uses words that maybe are a little more contemporary, easier for us to understand at times. And I think at times also Dr. Peterson does an excellent job of transliterating the Greek. You understand what transliterating means. Sometimes that just means taking the Greek word and literally translating it in a way that sometimes is even more powerful. But here it is. Watch what God does and then do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. And then 1 John chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. I write this, dear children. Emphasis there is children. I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a high priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous Jesus. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good. Not only ours, but the whole world's. Here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. And if someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. His life doesn't match his words. But the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. As we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul begins with a very interesting introduction. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. You ever thought what that means? Let's continue on. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us. Okay, I want to stop there for a minute. Would you like to start a revolution this morning? When I read the first four words of this passage of Scripture, I thought to myself, wow, be imitators of God. That could start a revolution. If we could somehow figure out what that is and how to do that, it would change this world. And it wouldn't be the kind of imitating that we often see in the world around us, because we would be imitating God. In fact, this revolution, there would be no guns, there would be no wars, there would be no arguments or debates, there would be no riots in the streets, no massive rock concerts or media blitzes, just the sweet fragrance of a life lived in love. Just the sweet fragrance. The fragrance of a Christian life lived in love. This passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, is so packed full of incredible meaning and depth that I told my wife after I wrote down the notes that I have, I said, I could probably preach 3 or 4 sermons just on those 2 verses. There is so much in there that is so powerful and has so much meaning for us as Christians. Be imitators of God. Why should we imitate God? You ever thought about that? Well, let's start real simple. Why should we imitate God? Because he said to do it. Okay? Let's start with the simple. Because God said so. Now, that ought to be good enough for us, don't you think? But sometimes it isn't. So let's look at some other reasons why we should imitate God. To me, one of the most important elements here is in these two verses is that we imitate God because we are God's children. Children are great imitators. In fact, little Elliot just cracks me up. I love it. I love watching him because he reminds me of my youngest boy. Just the other day when we were having potlucks and we were singing Happy Birthday, and we were standing up front and leading out in that. And when we were all done, little Elliot was there and he was doing his thing too. And he was imitating, you know, he was going to lead out, you see. And I thought that was wonderful. Children are great imitators. They love to mimic the behavior of adults. In fact, you know, I've learned something in raising the two boys that I raised, is that at a very young age, much younger than we realize, children are watching every single move that we make. They are listening to every single word that we say. They are watching the facial expressions on our faces. They are looking at our hand motions. They are looking at every element, everything that we do. And then we catch them copying and imitating that. So what does that say about being imitators of God? We should imitate God because God has asked us to, and because we are God's children. Here's another reason why. We should be imitators of God because God said Himself that He is love. He said, Jesus also said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So imitating God also means that we will also follow and fulfill His commands. So we have this idea of imitating God, but we also realize that if we're going to imitate something, there needs to be a pattern to follow. Isn't that right? There needs to be a pattern of some sort. God is asking us here to imitate. By the way, I need to clarify something here too, unless we might be confused. God's not saying, be God. He's not saying, be a God or be me. He's saying, imitate and be loving to one another. Is there an example that we can follow? Well, let's take a look at the pattern. If you look in your Bibles, turn your Bibles to John chapter 13, we'll find an example here. Jesus, as I said before, said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And we have a story that most of you are probably very, you know, familiar with. It's the story of the last few hours of Jesus' life here on this earth with His disciples. And Jesus goes into the upper room. What was going on in the upper room? All of His disciples were in confusion. They were all trying to be top dog. They were all trying to be the best. They were trying to be the leader. They were fighting with each other to be the leader. There was a lot of pride, there was a lot of jealousy, there was a lot of anger, there was a lot of clamoring and clawing. And into this environment, Jesus steps. And what does He do? Jesus steps in and He takes up a towel and He wraps it around His waist. And He takes a bowl of water and He begins to wash the feet of His disciples. Jesus was setting an example for His disciples. The foot washing was only the symbol of what Jesus was trying to say to His disciples. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And later on in the verse he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. So then if I am your Lord and Master and have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example." There's that word example. "That you should do as I have done to you. Do to each other as I have done to you." And then he goes on and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And if you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Wow. Huh. Jesus was setting an example for his disciples. He was setting an example for us. He was the pattern for us to follow. And it's easy for us to get confused. It's easy for us to begin to think, well, okay, I've got to become perfect like Jesus. I've got to become perfect like God. This is not a call to perfectionism. This is a call to imitate. This is a call to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Later that evening, if you want to look at it in verse 34, chapter 13 of John, verse 34, Jesus said, "My children," there's that word again, "my children." I love it because it parallels the verse in Ephesians. "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am, you can come." And here it is, verse 34. Listen to this. "A new command I give you." A new command. What did we read earlier? We follow God's commands. But Jesus says here, "I give you a new command." And what is that new command? What is it? What does it say? "Love one another as I have loved you." So here's that theme again. Do as I have done. Follow in my footsteps. Imitate. Mimic, if you please. And what is it that we're mimicking? Sinlessness? No. Love. "A new command I've given you. Love one another as I have loved you." Jesus is the pattern. Just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do you see the parallels there in Ephesians chapter 5? 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John again. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7. I hear a consistent message coming through from Paul, from Jesus himself. And now let's read what John has to say again. "Dear friends," little children, whatever. "Dear friends, let us love one another." And where does love come from? Love comes from God. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Do you hear the echo of Jesus' words to his disciples there? "A new commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you." Do you hear that echo coming through? Years and years later, the disciple John writes it down. The apostle Paul writes it down in Ephesians. "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is," what? "Love." You see, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he, what? He loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. "Dear friends, since God so loved us," here it is again, what? We ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Now there it is. Why do we imitate God? Why do we to follow in the footsteps of Christ, the new commandment that Christ gave? Why do we do that? It's because that when we imitate or we follow in the footsteps of Christ and imitate God and His love, the love that is expressed in the body of Christ is made complete. And people see that. People see that. They see the completeness in the body of Christ. They see the manifestation of God's love in the body of Christ. Be imitators. You know, this passage of Scripture here in 1 John and also the one in Ephesians that we've been studying, these words were written not long after Christ was here on this earth. These were written as guidelines for the early Christian church, for the Middle Ages of the Christian church, and for the Christian church that will be alive at the end of time. The call is still the same. Imitate God. And I know every time I think about that, every time I hear that phrase, I always get this bolt of lightning that goes through my head and says, that means we've got to be perfect and sinless then. You know? It's not what it's calling us to. You know, God is perfect. God is sinless. God is everything that we aren't. But what's important is that we not forget in Ephesians, if you turn back to Ephesians, there's one element here that we need to emphasize. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. And then here it is. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering of sacrifice to God. You cannot give your life so that someone else can be saved. Not in the way that Christ saved us. Christ died so that we could all have eternal life. But we can give service to one another. Do you see that? Because that service then becomes that fragrant offering, that incense, that sweet-smelling incense that ascends. It's in serving one another. It's in serving the body of Christ that we become imitators of God. Do you see that? Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying here and what John is saying and what Jesus was saying? A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. And in Ephesians, dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and what? Gave Himself up. You see, true love, Jesus said Himself, greater love hath no man than he what? Lay down his life for his brother or sister. It's true. There's always a price to pay when you decide to love. When God decided, well, He didn't have to decide. What parent has to decide that they want to love their child? Does that ever, my daughter-in-law is very pregnant now. We have pictures of it to prove it. And already my son and his wife love that child. They have not even seen that child. All they see, all they have are these little pictures of what my younger son calls a pterodactyl, or anyways, he's got this name. He says it looks like a little worm there, you know. And he teases. In fact, he the one my wife has in her office, he drew a hat and a goatee on it, you know. And yet they love this child. This child is not even born yet. He hasn't even been brought into this world. They have a name for him already. They already talk to him. My son sings to him. He's already loved. He's deeply loved. At no point did they have to say, well, I think I'll decide to love this child. Do you see the parallels with God? God didn't have to decide. He already loved us. And it says, while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Do you see the equation? You do the math. God's love plus Jesus' sacrifice equals my salvation. Do you see that? It's the math. God's love, Jesus' sacrifice, my salvation. God didn't have to decide to love us. He loved us. Same thing is true for us in the body of Christ. We're all children. We're all imitators of our Father in heaven. And if you're imitators of your Father, then we need to love one another. And I know that's hard. It's tough sometimes. It's tough to love teenagers. For those of you that have little ones, they're sweethearts. But man, something happens. You know? And then sometimes even the teenagers never change and they become adults. I'm not talking about my boys, they're perfect. But regardless of the circumstances, parents, healthy parents, always continue to love their children unconditionally. Do you see the parallels there? God loves you unconditionally this morning. Proof of that? He sent His Son to die so that we could have eternal life. And because of that, we're called to be imitators. Imitators of God. Not called to be perfect, just be imitators. Love one another as Christ loved you. Is that hard? Sure it is. Sometimes it is hard. But whenever you get stuck in that spot of having a hard time loving someone, just remember that God loves you. When you're stuck and you just absolutely can't take another step in the direction towards one of your brothers or your sisters, just remember that Jesus Christ loved you and still loves you unconditionally. And so when the Apostle Paul here in chapter 5 calls us to be imitators of God, he is challenging us to be a part of a revolution. By the way, that revolution that was started there in the upper room, started by Jesus himself, teaching his disciples to love each other unconditionally and to serve each other, that revolution has carried on now for over 2,000 years. 2,000 years. You are part of that revolution. We don't need to start a revolution. We just need to continue the revolution. You see? Do you understand? And that revolution is learning to love and love one another as Christ loves us and serve one another. And it becomes then a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I just can't get past verse 2. It is so powerful. You know, it's interesting. This is going to be a short one today. Another 5 minutes. In this passage of Scripture, you see laid out for you the whole concept of salvation in Christ Jesus, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. It reaches back into the Old Testament and talks about this fragrant offering. You go back into the Old Testament and you study the offerings that were given in the temple, and you will find the parallels there, those offerings that were offered to God. This is terms, these are concepts, and these are ideas that the people in Paul's time understood clearly. Atonement for our sins. Love. God is love. The fragrance of the offering, the sacrifice that is given to God. When you serve the body of Christ, when you humble yourself and become a servant as Christ was with his disciples, you are offering up a sacrifice. You are offering up incense, a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. Why should we imitate? Because Jesus knew that the future of the body of Christ, the future of the church, depended on it. It depended on it. And that's why it is so wonderful when you see a congregation, when you see a church, when you see the body of Christ functioning healthily, you will see people working together, serving one another, offering up a sweet-smelling sacrifice with fragrance to God. And just remember that when you are doing that, when you are serving the body of Christ, you are imitating God. I challenge us here at Point Loma to continue to imitate God, to continue to offer up ourselves as a fragrant offering, an offering of service to the body of Christ, where Jesus is the head. And we are the parts of the body. We didn't get far in Ephesians chapter 5. But let me tell you, I'll be thinking about those two verses for a long time to come. Imitating God. Be part of the revolution. The world doesn't understand it. The world talks about love. It talks love, love, love. All we need is love, you know, and all that stuff that we hear and all the stuff that we see on television. It's all about love. But the only true love is God's love. That's what we should be imitating. And that's what Paul is calling the body of Christ to do. Be imitators of God. God is love. God's love plus Christ's sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, equals our eternal life. The hope of eternal life comes through Jesus Christ, manifesting God's love. Let's continue to worship this morning.